Listening Library presents The Emperor's Ostrich by Julie Berry, read for you by Jane Entwistle. To the inspiring memory and kindness of Lloyd Alexander, and to the students at Mindez Elementary School in Ashland, Massachusetts, for first leading me on March 15, 2012, to Emperor, Ostrich, and Ghoul. And to the thousands of children who've brainstormed with me in creative writing workshops ever since. To answer the question you frequently ask me, yes, this really is how I write a story, and this one's for you. Chapter 1 Of Cats and Milk and Royal Rudeness. Midnight in the Palace. Quiet lay smooth like a shine on burnished gold, like the nap on brushed velvet. The singers of songs for the evening shift breathed slowly, then sang again in low, soothing tones into brass pipes that fed their notes into the imperial bedchamber. Their voices blended like water in songs, so gentle they could break your heart. The Emperor's cupbearer's young second assistant approached the bedroom door bearing a chalice on a tray. Its foamy warm milk surface never stirred. Imperial cupbearers could carry loaded trays across lava fields without the slightest motion rippling the surface of His Exalted Magnificence's drink. Or so they liked to think. The second assistant bowed to the porter at the door. The porter's gaze moved slightly toward a flank of guards concealed by tall scarlet drapes. The chief guard, dressed in a soldier's gear, stepped forward and motioned to his lieutenant.
The Emperor's milk.
The lieutenant bowed to his captain and removed from his pocket his own less glorious cup. The cupbearer's second assistant poured an ounce of warm milk into the soldier's cup, then wiped the rim of the Emperor's chalice. The lieutenant guard slowly drank his portion. He wiped clean his own small cup and slipped it back into his pocket. They all waited, their ears cocked as though straining to hear the sounds in his belly. Just once, the lieutenant thought, it would be interesting if something actually did happen. But that something would likely begin with the stopping of his own heart. Such could be the unhappy fate of an imperial warm milk taster. The lieutenant rocked back and forth on the balls of his feet. He took a deep, healthy, thoroughly unpoisoned breath.
Very well, then, said the porter to the second assistant. You will proceed?
The bearer of the imperial warm milk cup nodded. It was good of the porter not to treat him like a youth and mention that this was his first time in the sacred bedchamber.
I will proceed.
The porter tapped a teakwood mallet against a hollow silver flute mounted to the wall. A chime hung in the air, then faded. It was answered by a muffled chime from within the bedchamber. The cupbearer's second assistant felt the muscles in his legs contract. He wiggled his toes inside his shiny new shoes. The porter produced a key from one of his pockets, unlocked the great bedchamber door, and swung it open. Step after solemn step led the cupbearer's second assistant through the great dim cathedral of a bedchamber, past trickling marble pools where orchids dozed and golden carp flicked their tails, past shocking statues of former empresses and candle-lit shrines to heroic ancestor emperors from days gone by. Outside in the palace pleasure gardens, a bird of paradise sang. A pair of lamps by the imperial bed cast a warm red glow upon white silk damask bedclothes. The emperor lay in the middle of the bed, little more than a fitful, restless, thrashing lump beneath blankets and sheets.
So much space around him, and so much luxury, marveled the cupbearer's second assistant. And yet he's all alone.
I don't feel like milk tonight, said the lump.
The cupbearer bowed and turned to leave.
Oh, give me some since you're here.
The Emperor squirmed into an upright position, and the servant reached forward with the cup to press it against his radiance's lower lip. Even in the dim light, the cupbearer was dazzled by the luster of the Emperor's silk pyjamas and the glint of his golden earrings. Rubies clustered like worshippers across his royal fingers, and his face gleamed where the ladies of imperial ablutions had anointed his skin with hazelnut oil. The long tails of his imperial moustache curled in divinely royal spirals of blackest jet. These long moustaches were a point of extreme pride for the Emperor. Many an older man could not produce such beauties, and he not yet 22. Yet for all this magnificent splendour, the young cupbearer couldn't suppress an irreverent thought. My youngest cousin could wrestle him to the ground easily, and divine emperor or no, he still has pimples. The emperor sniffed the fragrant warm milk and wrinkled his nose.
Never mind, set it on the table. No, it will spill. Set it on that table. No, don't. I don't want it. Pour it out for the cat.
The cupbearer turned, and turned again with each new instruction, keeping his face and the surface of the milk eternally still. In all his training in how to bear, pour, and proffer the emperor's beverages, the cupbearer's second assistant had not fully anticipated how to endure the emperor himself.
Your luminous grace must be looking forward to your birthday, he ventured. And immediately he regretted it, but there was no stopping his tongue now. 22 is an auspicious age for a ruler.
His voice trailed off in terror.
A cupbearer only spoke when spoken to.
Time quivered like a dewdrop on a petal in the palace pleasure gardens. The emperor leaned forward.
Who are you? He said, so slowly, so softly. To address words to me.
The cupbearer trembled.
What would come next? A month in the dungeons?
He held his breath and waited to greet his fate.
Give the milk to the cat.
The second assistant nearly jiggled the milk in grateful joy.
Yes, your radiance, immediately, your radiance. Thank you, your merciful radiance. Silence!
The cupbearer's second assistant turned toward the ivory bowl the emperor had indicated and wondered in his innermost heart if it was too late for him to return home to his uncle's pig farm and live out his days serving more pleasant creatures. At least the emperor didn't smell like a pig. The young servant knelt before the imperial cat's bowl to pour. The cat, a grey Persian, lay on a velvet ottoman and watched the proceedings with bored yellow eyes. The cupbearer tilted the chalice.
No!
The cupbearer caught in midair the drop that had escaped. The emperor's chest heaved. He clapped his hand against his forehead, clinking the rings on his fingers.
Why have I never seen? Why have the priests not remembered? Demons consort with cats.
He seized the mallet hanging next to the silver flute on his wall, the twin of that which the porter rang, and attacked the flute. Mad notes jangled in the air. He fumed at the second assistant.
Why did you come in here to disturb me with wretched milk?
The cupbearer set down his tray and prostrated himself on the carpet. To grovel or to run away and not stop running were his only options. Servants had died for less than bringing milk to a fickle-minded monarch who had demanded milk, or wishing him a happy birthday. Anger the emperor, and old age might never touch your brow, or so the older palace servants often said. At the time, the cupbearer thought they were teasing him. Doors from every direction opened, and servants, butlers, guards, the chancellor, a priest, a dancer, a masseuse, a cook, and a confectioner appeared with the speed of leopards and the poise of acrobats, all armed with the tools of their trades. The cat leaped off its ottoman and dove under the imperial bed in one smooth swoop.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?